Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by TopSport, home of the TopSport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day everyone, welcome to a very special edition. I don't know why I say it's special, we do it every week, it's only round nine. But anyway, we feel like it's special. It's the National Rugby League, of course. It's the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by the best of the best. I'm talking about topsport.com.au. And dare I say it, the regular crew is in attendance. I'm talking about Tristan Merlehan, who skipped into work this morning following the outstanding win of the Gold Coast Titans during round eight, whereas Jared Condon from Reading the Player and myself have our tail between the legs after the very poor performance of the Dolphins in that match against the Newcastle Knights. How are you, gentlemen?
Yes, very good. Very good, boys. And yes, what a performance over in New Zealand. It was a fantastic atmosphere over there at in Auckland. And yeah, at 12-0 down, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a very, very long day and very, very long trip home. But yeah, what a turnaround. And then the defence the Titans showed late was something that certainly caught me off guard, but it was great to see. And now they go down in class immensely with their game on the weekend, so it should be an easy double up when they take on the Storm. But no, it's been a big weekend of footy. And then obviously I couldn't take my eyes off that game on Sunday when the Knights took on the Dolphins as well. That was very exciting to get another lunch bet on the leaderboard. So yeah, been a big week and looking forward to getting stuck in today.
What about that last 10 minutes of the Titans? I mean, everybody was just watching it. This is not going to be a slow car crash, is it? It's not going to be a late try for the Warriors and they sneak home. And no, the defence held. And the 53 Titans fans that were at the ground all went up cheering in the end. I could see on the camera there's Tristan and Lloyd headed straight for the bar. Yeah, that would have been an amazing experience, especially on Anzac Day. And I must say, you know, so many of the clubs did the event so well. Amazing week, and yes, the less said about the Dolphins, the better. But I guess, Jimmy, that poses the question about their coach. Seems to be highly sought after. It's more a matter of which club's not talking to him as opposed to where he might end up.
And I totally understand the interest too, Jared, around Wayne Bennett, right? And I've been saying for a couple of weeks, if I'm the Dolphins, I do not let him walk out the building. I know you've got something in place with Christian Wolf, and that might be really unfair, but I think you could explain that to Christian, who I think is 47, 48 years of age, and say, hey, you've got a job beyond here, you know, when Wayne leaves. We just don't want him to leave yet. Like, not only are you going to let him walk out the building, and we know what happens when Wayne leaves an organisation, that's been proven over a long history. The other thing you're letting him do is coach against you. So it's not like you're letting him go to England or something like that. Like it's if it was a player, it would never happen. They would never allow that in this day and age to happen. But anyway,
I couldn't agree with you more, Jimmy. And yeah, on the back of that, Wayne's had 3 years of talent identification behind the Dolphins, and that's, you know, kids in not only that northern region in and around where Redcliffe is, but clearly elsewhere. So there's a lot of intelligence. We've discussed previously, I never understood why the Rabbitohs only ever went with a three-year deal and a succession plan. And then the Dolphins did the same, and now that the Dolphins don't go back and revisit that. I mean, clearly the point at both clubs has always been, oh, well, he's in his 70s. We'll yeah. just do 3 years and do succession. Whether the man's in his 70s or however close to his 80s he gets, he's still by far the best coach in the competition and clearly highly sought after. And we touched on this weeks ago. That people at the Rabbitohs reached out to him 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Incredible week. We'll get into the dismissal of Jason Demetrio very shortly. But what we like to do here is look back before we look for. I don't really want to do this, but we're going to have to. Give us a a lunch bet update, please, Jared. And then, Tristan, you might be able to reveal how much money has been raised for Pass It On Clothing.
Yes, well, Tristan kicked away, back up the table again with another plus two result. Pick one up from me and one up from you, Jimmy. We've got me at plus seven. Tristan sneaking up there to plus five. Jimmy, you do sit third on the table at the moment and it's minus 11. And we did have a winner with the Eagles at the minus nine and a half. The Eagles fading terribly there in the last 15 minutes of that game to get the line covered. So some nice results. And Tristan, I think that bank account might be kicking along nicely.
Yeah, 9,040. So, yeah, certainly ticking on very nice and getting close to the five figures up there. And, yeah, that lunch table is looking very, very nice as well for all the people cheering on the good guys at the comp.
No one's cheering you on, just to be known. I don't think even your daughters are cheering you on. But anyway, and just on that fade by the Parramatta Eels, it wasn't so much a fade as a brain fade by Mike Acebo, and Daily Cherry has exploited that. I've won about five best bets in a row. Then the Seagulls get up minus nine and a half. I just can't win a lunch bet. I don't know which one I'd prefer to win. I can't believe how quiet Tristan was about it. You know, what a sportsmanlike behaviour.
I know which one I prefer you to win, Jimmy, so it's doing a good job.
Well, I think if the truth was known, Jimmy, that Tristan was still recovering for 4 or 5 days coming back from New Zealand, and you and I needed to remind him that he actually picked up a lunch bet.
Well, we're talking about age and how age will not weary them with in terms of Wayne. I can assure you that Dad is in his 70s as well, and he has still got the absolute innate ability to stop a team or a horse that he's had for the last 30 years of my existence, because when the Warriors were charging at the Titans, he uttered a couple of words which I can't repeat on this show, but basically it inferred that the Titans were gone, and then from there the Warriors didn't score another point. So I think Wayne's got another 10 years of coaching left in him if those sort of capabilities are similar.
Very good, very good. Remember, if you are listening to this, wherever it is that you get your podcast, make sure you subscribe. You can write a review. Tell your mates about it. We encourage you to do that. It's been fantastic, the support that we get. So long may it continue. It won't continue at the South Sydney Rabbitohs for Jason Demetrio. So first of all, let's look at it from a market perspective, Tristan, and see what's happened there. The other really important thing, which we'll get to a little bit later, now we've got Nathan Cleary missing a game for the Penrith Panthers. Now, we expect the Penrith Panthers to beat South Sydney, but does it have any impact on their favouritism for the premiership in 2024?
Yeah, well, wasn't that a fun game to price, which we'll get into as we get to the game-by-game comments. But in terms of the premiership, the Panthers are clear favourites now at $3.20. The Broncos are $3.80. They've been very, very good this year, despite the fact they've had a number of injuries to contend with, and they look every bit a side that's going to be there or thereabouts once the whips are cracking. The Storm, $6. The Roosters, $10. The Sharks have been the biggest firmest, sitting atop of the table at $13. With Manly 13, the Warriors have drifted over the last fortnight. They've gone 12 out to 19. The Cowboys 29, the Dolphins 41, the Bulldogs 51, and then the Rabbitohs right down the bottom. They're out to 100 to 1, drifting very, very hard on the back of obviously their performance and the news of the coaching situation. Titans big firmers, 500 to 1 into 250 to 1. But probably a much more relevant discussion in terms of the Bunnies is where they sit for the top eight. And they're $9 to make the top eight after their really ordinary start to the season. So just to put that into perspective, at the start of the year, they're $1.45 to make the eight. They're out to $9 starting one win out of their seven games.
Okay, I'll give you a wrap there, Jared. I think you had them out of your eight for the year. But what have you made of them? Not so much the manner, but the expectation around Jason Demetrio and his demise there at South Sydney.
Jimmy, just on those markets, I mentioned last week, the last 2 weeks I've been backing the Broncos from 450 down to win the competition. I think of the top three, if not top four teams, that's where I want to have my money longer term. I had a question mark coming into the season about would they improve or would they regress slightly with the outs of Flegler and Farnworth. I can't believe the level of confidence that they have, in particular in their attacking ability. Question mark about whether Reynolds can hobble his way through September. But if he's there on the back of Marm and that kid at the back is just a superstar, they've just got points in attack in them. Jimmy, I guess we've all seen this coming for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And, you know, South's leaking 36 points a week. It just has got worse. They clearly in the second half just fall away dramatically. There has to be really significant questions about the level of fitness. They're also missing key players. But it was off the rails. They had to make some hard decisions. It was very interesting that there was a pull of power within the boardroom, and it took two meetings to get everybody on side. I think Cannon Brooks has become a very major player in that boardroom and what unfolds. Now to watch of whether there will be any additional change, whether it's at a football management level, whether it's at an executive level, whether it's now Wayne Bennett as a fait accompli. Some people think so. I think the fact that Richo could see what was going on within the boardroom and decided to leverage his position at the Tigers and stay there and not return was significant.
Yep.
Because Wayne had made it very known he wanted Richo back as his head of football. And there was a pushback by the executive management at the Rabbitohs about that. So what unfolds now, how those ducks all line up, what boxes get ticked. And, you know, as I said before we started the podcast, you know, there's noises coming out of the Eels that they are very confident that they are in a healthy discussion with Wayne Bennett at the moment. And I have previously mentioned at their board meeting 2 weeks ago, it was discussed that maybe it is time now to move on from Brad Arthur and look at what their coach and plan for next year onwards is. I would suggest that he will be replaced. Now, whether Wayne Bennett is the man or somebody else is the alternative will be a very interesting watch.
Big shout out to the Dolphins too, currently sixth on the ladder, whose coach is just inquiring about his employment future for next year. Like,
unbelievable.
How do we do that? Like if, imagine if a player did it, a CEO did it, anyone, you know, and openly admitting it. Yeah, I'm having conversations with Blake Solly. Yeah. So really interesting situation on that. Just on the South Sydney board, one is a Hollywood superstar. The other one is from a legendary Australian business family, but they are both dwarfed by the sheer weight of wealth of Mike Cannon-Brookes, who's worth yep. $22 billion. Like, it's an amazing situation with the new part owner of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You know, it's a big deal when the Prime Minister is weighing in on the decision to sack the coach. So how that plays out, is going to be a very, very interesting watch.
Jimmy, I think the other really key point here for the listeners is that the proxy for Cannon Brooks on the board is a lady who has a very strong background in the game of following the game and knowing the game, but also a very, very highly successful record in the corporate world. And pulls absolutely no punches from what I understand. So I think there was some very, very robust discussion in both of those board meetings and in the meetings leading into that on Tuesday. So a very major shift of power and I think direction about what's happening internally there. And now obviously a very key watch about what they do moving forward. I would suggest that Blake Solly and Mark Ellison started scampering a number of weeks ago with the mentions that possibly Russell might have been, that Russell was wanting Richo to come back, and that's then led to Ellison being in England. They've signed Lewis Dodd last weekend and were very quickly quick about announcing that. Now, you know, I guess it leads to who's looking after who, who's trying to protect their own self-interest, and how that influences who they go with as a coach.
Kelly Morton is the lady's name. She's the founder and CEO of Sky Capital, debt restructuring and all that. So I think they have lent over $90 billion. Yep. But lifelong South Sydney Rabbitohs fan. So knows exactly what she's talking about. So the fact that those types of people are involved in the game at that level, I think is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it, boys. We've got some big games coming up. Round 9 of the National Rugby League. It starts tonight, Rabbitohs and the Panthers. So lots of changes here for the Rabbitohs. Jacob Gagai out, Isaiah Tass to the wing, Michael Cheekam out of the back row into the centres, Kian Kalamatangi into the second row after being named at prop, Jai Arrow now starting, Sean Kepi, new player on the bench. But the big news here, and good luck, Tristan, Nathan Cleary ruled out, and Brad Schneider comes in at halfback, and Jack Cole is joining the bench, and Sunia Taruva is back on the wing. and Moses Leota is back after having a week out. Yeah, good luck with this one, Tristan.
Yeah, this was already very, very hard to price on the fact of it's, you never know what impact a new coach is going to have on the marketplace. And obviously, there's always the assertion that a team goes a lot better when they've got a new coach. They don't often come up against the three-time reigning premiers. So it certainly makes it very tricky. So we opened the market at 14.5. There was instant support for the Panthers and pushed it out to 15.5 short of the minus. And that stayed that way. And then obviously we got the news through last night that Cleary was out and there was a bit of a push for the Rabbitohs when that was breaking. So that pushed the market from 15.5 into 12.5, which we laid. And then we got it into 11.5. And now at that 11.5, there has been a bit of a push for the Panthers. So it's a very tricky one to work out where this is going to finish. It's $1.22 Penrith, $4.30 the Rabbits, and 11.5 short of the minus, 42.5 the total points.
Well, I'm north of 12, so I certainly want to be with the 11.5 and be with the Panthers. And, you know, coming back to what happens when the dead cat does a dead cat bounce here when the coach gets sacked. Well, they actually, the team in NRL, after a coach sacking, only win 3 out of 10 occasions. So it's a really poor record. A lot of people think it's maybe it's 50-50, maybe they respond. Well, they actually don't. And I'm just not sure how this South Sydney team responds. And if I look at my rating number outs for players outs, I've got a higher rating out for the Rabbits than I do for the Panthers, including Nathan Cleary, because you've got Latrell out, you've got Totola out, you've got Graham, Johnson, Milne, and they're leaking 36 points a week and struggle to score points, and they're going to play the best defensive team in the competition, albeit without Nathan. But then the forecast is that we're only going to see a few mils of rain today, not the some of the big downpours that were originally forecast earlier in the week. So on a drier track at a Homebush, I can't see how Souths can mount 2-3 tries to make themselves competitive and cover that line against this quality defence. I want to be with the Panthers. I want to be with the minus 11.5, and I think it's a nice way to start the week.
Yeah, I'm with you. Minus 11.5. So if we look at that game last week, so the Cowboys get to 20. Now, the Cowboys are a fantastic attacking side. We've always made mention of that. And the other interesting part about it too, a little bit of ring rust for Nathan Cleary comes back into the side and he misses two tackles that lead directly to tries. Now, I'm not having a go at Nathan Cleary, but that's what happens when you miss footy, right? And you get put under pressure, physical or otherwise. So we have seen when Brad Schneider comes into this side that it was what they barely missed a beat. And that game against the Roosters when they were so good defensively.
He was super. That was
against the Roosters at Allianz Stadium. And now it's South Sydney at a Core Stadium. They love playing at a Core Stadium. They just win grand finals there, Penrith Panthers.
The other thing to your point too, Jimmy, last week, I mean, they led by 20.
Yeah.
And yet in the second half had less than 40% of the ball. Cowboys had all of that ball and momentum and made good of it, but the Panthers still only restricted them to three tries and won the game. It's quality defence. I just don't see how the Rabbitohs break that.
And then the other try was Jerome Luai missing a one-on-one. So, you know, there's no problem with the defensive structures. You just got to do your job within that. So I'm with you, Jared. I like the no dead cat bounce for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, unfortunately, for Benny Hornby. He'll be 0-1. In his NRL coaching career after starting this week. All right, next game, Friday night. This is a really big one at Four Pines Park. The Seagulls up against the Raiders. So DCE is playing, successful at the judiciary for the downgrade. Tofofoa Sipley is a very good player, just got to stay on the park, and he's back on the bench. Elliot Whitehead back for the Raiders. That was a heavy loss last week. Albert Hopewadi to take over from Chevy Stewart in that fullback position, and Nick Kotrich coming in on the wing. How'd you price this one up, Tristan?
This is another fun one to price because we had to put the market up, obviously, when there was uncertainty around DCE, who seemed to get off due to the good bloke reasons, which I don't know if anyone on this podcast would get the same leniency, but it's gone from $1.30-odd into $1.21 the Seagulls, $4.40 Canberra, and the line's gone from 8.5 out to 13.5. So it's moved 5 points. And again, it's a really tricky one to know where this one ends. Has it gone too far on the back of that? Was the market frame that he was going to miss? It would probably appear that you know, I sort of thought it was framed in a 50-50 manner, but that's moved a significant way. But as we've got to that 13.5, it's into $1.85 now, the plus. $1.95 Manly. We're seeing a team, Canberra, who started the season really, really well, but obviously then with a couple of injuries, they were pretty ordinary there at home last week. They've got to go to the daunting fortress of Brookvale. Big underdogs, young team, 13.5. I think Manly will be licking their lips a little bit here.
Tristan, that knock on your door about 11 o'clock today will be the courier delivery of the roses, champagne and flowers, just to say thank you to your traders for putting the 8.5 up before the judiciary verdict. And what a lovely position to have going into this. I do hope for tomorrow evening. I thought it was always line ball that he might get off. And as Jimmy, I think, suggested on Monday on radio, the good bloke theory seemed to flow through. And Jimmy, didn't he's a defender? I think he's 100% record at the judiciary. Is that right?
Nick Gabar, mate. He's the Michael Jordan of the NRL judiciary. I don't know if he goes right. If I can't win it, I'm not going to take it. But
I was about to suggest he's a very sharp man, because he only seems to take the ones that he's very confident about. And that was probably the turning point for me wanting to have a play here. I mean, the Eagles at home, I think with DCE playing, clearly the market is about right. I'm probably a touch longer than where it's ended up now. Their record already this season has been very good there. They've won all three games, but won by good margins. Probably got out of jail a little bit with some of the brain fades that the Eels had late last week. But it does show that they can turn to an advantage and target the right areas of the park. And again, the man that was doing it and pointing them around was DCE. And I, like you, Jimmy, I was incredibly disappointed with the Raiders last week, letting 40 through back at home, not scoring a point. I don't know whether now, 8-9 weeks into the season, some of the toll of playing NRL for some of these younger guys is starting to show. Clearly, with Fogarty out, they're very much a rudderless ship, and I expected a little bit more with the kicking game, and I thought 20 minutes into the first half they were managing that okay, and then they just completely crumbled. On the road, into Sydney, the Eagles at home, where they play very well, I certainly think the Eagles cover the line. And, you know, as I touched on last week, the Eagles at home in night games have a record of scoring a lot of points, and I think we're going to see, you know, mid to high 40s here again as well.
I'd love to be at the -8.5. I'll take the -13.5, though, for the Manly side. Apparently, Tristan went in with a judiciary and was looking for 2 weeks with a downgrade, and the good bloke discount saw him come out with 6 weeks, which is, you know, it's just the way it works. Just the way it works sometimes. But anyway, they weren't good last week, Manly. They did not play really well. They were clunky. Their attack just didn't seem to fire. It took, first of all, Penasini, and then the Sivo sin binnings, and then that's when DCE just exploited it down their right-hand side. Tom Trbojevic's numbers look okay, but it's still not quite happening for him. I said on radio during the week, look, as try as I might, Dylan Edwards is going to have to be the fullback for New South Wales, because, you know, the things that he did against the Cowboys, saving tries and then scoring tries, just puts him ahead of the competition. So back to Manly. They'll be better this week, I presume. Back to Canberra. No Fogarty. Whoa. We talked about who's going to kick the ball for them, and it's a disaster. It's a crutch that the club can lean on. Oh, we haven't got our halfback, and he was really good the first 7 weeks, but unfortunately, you've got to go out and play, and that's my concern around Canberra. They're going to be a mile away now without their leading playmaker for the season.
I guess the good thing for the Raiders, Jimmy, is that now that they have the crutch with all these players out and they're backing these young blokes in, Ricky will get a new 5-year extension.
I don't think it was ever in doubt, Jared. But anyway, this is a cracker on Friday night. Suncorp Stadium, absolutely huge. So Ezra Mam is back. Selwyn Cobbo both set to play. Jordan Rickey has got a facial cut at training. He'll be right for the game. Corey Oates named as 18th man. So that's the Bronx. The Roosters, Victor Radley included in the reserves, could be in for Siwa Wong. They've got to make a final call today. Daniel Tupou returns as well. Tristan, this is an absolute beauty, clearly match of the round.
Yeah, absolute cracker. And there has been a strong push for the Broncos on the back of those couple of ins on the team list, where the line's gone from 5.5 out to 7.5, and it's $1.42. The Broncos, $2.88. The Roosters, 7.5 the line, as I say, $1.90, take your pick, 41.5. Obviously, the line moved on the back of Ezra Mann being named in that side. There hasn't been a lot of action since we've got that line at 7.5, so it looks pretty solid. The Roosters were obviously very impressive last weekend against the Dragons, but step up in class here. But this is obviously a rematch from Vegas where there'll be a bit of fire, I'd imagine, between these two sides. So 7.5 to me, cracking game. I think the plus looks a little bit of value in my eyes.
Yeah, what a good game. And, you know, I went over these numbers a number of times because, you know, they're two of my top four teams, but I think the numbers are probably about right, even though for, you know, one team in my top four playing another team in my top four with a bit of home advantage, 7.5 does look like a little bit too wide when they're both strong competitors. I think the key here is what level and quality of defence do the Roosters bring, because at their best, I think that's one of their strengths, and that's what they're going to need to shut down this Broncos team and the spark and silky attack that they can play and open up. But the Roosters actually do have a very strong recent record against the Broncos, 1-4 of the last six, and a couple of those have been in Brisbane. But I do think the gap is probably about right. Marm back, Cobbo in the centres. They just roll forward. I still think that they're potentially one big middle short of where I'd love them to be to go on and win the premiership, but this is just a cracking matchup. I don't know that there's a lot of depth in the form of the Roosters' win last week, other than the fact that I like that Walker was absolutely outstanding, probably the best game he's played for the club. He's another absolute talent. I thought it played a number of other guys into form and they built some confidence out of that, which is the right week to take it to Brisbane. Great matchup. I'm with the Broncos. I'm really looking forward to the game. I want to see what the Roosters bring in defence and then a little bit of spark from their seven.
Can you work out what's going on, Jared? Ashley Klein missed a game last week. Now he gets the best game of the round. Jared Sutton's one of the best referees in the league. He doesn't have a game this week.
Absolutely staggering, Jimmy. When I saw the appointments on Tuesday, I went, wow.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it. In the week that Luke Keary announces that he's going to retire at the end of the year for this big game, the other thing that I think is really important, Roosters have an 8-day turnaround. The Broncos have a 6-day turnaround. I think that is significant, especially, look, I know it was only cramping, but Adam Reynolds and Reece Walsh had their impact down there. In that game against the West Tigers. I think, stay with me, boys. This has got overs written all over it, hasn't it? 41.5. Yep. So surely. And I like what you say about Sam Walker. Like, he's such a unique half. He plays in a different fashion. This kicking that he does, and it doesn't matter what tackle it is. If he sees space at the back, and he caught Tyrell Sloan out a couple of times, and his teammates got on board with it. I think Crichton was exceptional. Manu got himself into the game. Brandon Smith was good. Connor Watson was excellent. So all of these players, as you say, returning to a bit of form, even though I love what the Broncos are doing. I think the plus 7.5 is the way I'd be going at this one as well too. And I love the over 41.5.
And on the overs, Jimmy, I mean, the Broncos' record at home, I think six of their last seven, the total points have gone over. They love playing here. They love night games here, and that's where they do rattle up points. And the Roosters clearly have got to go with them in attack. So I think you're on the money there.
Bulldogs Tigers, of course, Stadium on Saturday afternoon. This will be a 3 p.m. kickoff. So Jacob Preston looks like he'll be back from the broken jaw. That is great news for them. Jamin Salmon will shift back to lock. Kurt Mann to the bench. And he's got to make that final call tomorrow, Cameron Serraldo. Connor Tracy is the preferred option at fullback. Blake Taff on the bench. I like the look of that. Appy Coruscant named despite that back injury. I think he's been having spasms. Jake Simpkin has been named in the reserves as a replacement. Stafford Toa also listed, but probably next week on that one. I just felt the last couple of weeks there's been a bit of a regression from the West Tigers. What's the market saying, Tristan?
Yeah, it has, and it's been funny because the Tigers have played two of the heavyweights, the comp in Penrith and the Bronx, in both of those weeks, and whilst they were never, ever likely to win, they were sort of hanging around the Panthers game, and then the Broncos always looked like they were doing it very easy until the Tigers scored a couple of tries late to bring some sort of respectability back. And then the Bulldogs on the other side, they're obviously coming off that that bye last week, and they've been very, very solid in their performances in recent times. So coming off the bye, they'll be really keen to continue their recent run of good form. They're $1.40 favourites. The Tigers, $2.95. 7.5 is the line, 40.5 the total points. So there hasn't been really any movement at all in the win or the line markets in this price. So punters seem as though at this point they're happy with where we've got the market set.
Well, going back to the start of the season, looking at round 9, who had their bingo card marked with the Bulldogs coming in at $1.40 favourites for a game? Dear, oh dear. I think the other key here is there's 50 mil of rain forecast across Friday and then into Saturday into this game at 3 o'clock. And, you know, that's going to have a significant influence. And it's got to keep this game tight and probably lean to somewhere under 40 points. And so you'd have to suspect that the plus 7.5 has got to be an advantage. I like where the Bulldogs do come from off a bye. I think that helps them. If Preston plays, certainly he's been one of their best forwards for the last 12 months. I think they take confidence out of that last result, if not their last 3 or 4 results, where I think that they've been very gritty, confident, building as a unit. And in particular, the defence has been very sound. And you're right, Jimmy, about the Tigers. I mean, I do think that Waters have found its own level here and they've regressed. They've lost 4 in a row now. A couple of them have been key games at home where we would have expected them to be far more competitive, if not beat the Dragons. I'm with the Bulldogs. Gee, I think the plus 7.5 would have to be an advantage, but not overly confident. I'm not playing the game. I think it's a low scoring, but the Bulldogs to prevail.
What, unders? What? Anyway, 7.5. All right, I'll ask you this one, Jared. Which team's got the better kicking game? So we know the Matt Burton high kick, but what about Lockie Galvin and Aidan Caesar? I'm not sure who's got the better kicking game.
Well, and also Corrissau out of dummy half has got a very good kick
if he plays. So there's the other part about that too. Reed Marnie can kick, as we've seen him do a couple of times. Yeah, I favour the Bulldogs to win the game. I just like the 7.5 for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. They have started to attack better though, the Bulldogs. And I think it looks completely different when you put Crichton on the right-hand side and then you've got Kickow on the left-hand side and you've got that dual threat. And then the other thing that they've been doing there, Cameron Serraldo and Jason Taylor, they've got Matty Burton going to the right-hand side a lot and he's getting a lot more confidence out of that. Preston is obviously a big in. And he was one of those guys he was so good early in the season last year and then they had this heavy emphasis on the left-hand side and that impacted him. He was doing all these tackling and not doing much from an attack point of view. But Galvin continues to play well for a young man. Jareem Bullis just dipped a little in his form, which is a bit of a concern. But I like the Tigers at the plus 7.5.
Jimmy, where does Crichton end up in the New South Wales Blues picture? Surely he's an option for the other wing spot with To'o or potentially in the centres if it's not Latrell and Turbo?
I won't say he's a victim of it, but he's so good at whatever you want him to do, left or right, centre or wing, at a pinch fullback, like not to start a game, but if you had to put him there. So you just get the sense he's going to be there somewhere.
And he's got, as you suggest, he's got that versatility. If you play him on the left edge as a winger, or he can play on the right, he can then also fill in at centre if there's an injury, at fullback if there's an injury. But even just playing wing, he's just such a marquee talent.
Well, this highly talented, athletic star, attacking star, his best thing about him is his defence. So he just doesn't miss. And, you know, if you're Coach Maguire and you want him to go into an Origin series, save me one rather than score me one. I would have been.
Just on the Origin, what's the market at the moment, Tristan?
Is Crash Craddock going to tell us what the market is?
Yeah, they're drifting very hard, New South Wales. Actually, I've just brought up the wrong market. Their favourite for Game 1, New South Wales. So maybe that's what Crash was looking at. $1.70 in Game 1, New South Wales. The series, I think that's... I'll have to have a chat to the traders. Somehow the Queenslanders are $1.74 favourite, but as we see every year, that won't hold up come when the game one starts.
Well, Queensland do have 2 games at home this year. I think that's why they're favourite.
Yes. Crash will get that sorted, so there won't be a problem there.
Can you just clarify for the listeners what state in this country are you domiciled in, please, Tristan?
Very, very proud Queenslander. And, yeah, we're one of the few states in the country that's had a bit of success in Origin over the last couple of years, but always as underdogs. That's always a good double up from a bookmaking front.
Mate, no doubt the Queensland bookmaking body is going to get in contact with you and say, mate, I don't care what the market says. We're underdogs, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe if anyone's listening, we get a little 5% reduction in POC tax, and we can swing the market whatever you like.
I never saw that coming.
Oh mate, geez, I tell you what, they'll love your consistency, Tristan. Never miss an opportunity. Speaking of opportunities, here you go, Titans looking to go back to back Saturday at Cbus Super Stadium. We'll get an update on who's leading who out here, but. Mo Fotuaika is out with concussion. Joe Simpson in at prop. Dave Fifita named to start. And they're doing their switcheroony all the time. Nelson Asifa Solomona is named to start. We'll see what happens with that injury he might have picked up on Anzac Day. Tyrone Wishart, he's going to start on the wing in place of the injured Xavier Coates. Bronson Garlick set to join the bench for his first game of 2024. What can you please set the scene at Cbus Super Stadium for Saturday afternoon, Tristan?
Yes, and Titans coming off that big win over in New Zealand. They come back on their home turf, and no, the girls, not only are they not running the team out, they actually won't be in attendance because Ash is going to some concert, which has given me grave concerns about what I'll be dealing with on Sunday morning. But anyway, the Titans are big underdogs. They're $5 underdogs. The Storm are $1.18, and 14.5 is the line. We opened it at 13.5. Drifted out a point to 14.5, but there has been a push for the Titans once we've got over that number. 45.5 the total points. So if the Anzac Day matches are anything to go by, and the recent record at Cbus when I was cheering on the unders, you'd expect there might be a few points in this game as well. But the Titans obviously aimed up and were very good in New Zealand. They've got to come back to Australia, though, and take on one of the form teams in the comp. So it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think the key here is, for mine, I am not convinced, even though they were strong in that last 10 minutes, that over 80 minutes against a really sharp top three team that are also strategically very clever at looking the video and tape of the last couple of weeks and isolating where they want to target, that the Titans can hold the Storm back under 30. And at three of their last five games, they've conceded 30 or more. I think they've got massive problems on either edge, in particular their left in defence. But notably, they also now lose Fotuaika in the middle, and that just compounds a problem with Tino out. I think they come off a high, getting that breakthrough win, being away last week, and they run a little bit of a risk of a letdown in against the Storm, who the last four times they've played the Titans, and it didn't matter where the venue was, they won by 13 points or more and put big scores through them. I think they found a little bit of confidence running away with that second half result last week on Anzac Day in Melbourne, putting 54 points through the Rabbits, and it could well have been closer to 70. I like the Storm. I think they win. I think they cover the margin. I think they're winning by 20 points or more.
Oof. That's fun, Jared. Hard to argue with you. The challenging thing for this one with the Titans is the four best players for the Melbourne Storm last week were their four spine players. They were all superstars. Harry Grant got back to form. Jerome Hughes has been in form. Cameron Munster was back to his best, even with that groin injury. And Ryan Pappenhausen, still not back to what he was, but he's getting there. And you could throw in Nelson Asifa Solomona, and he was probably their fifth best player. So that's what the Titans have to come up against. No Fotuaika puts extra pressure on that. Well done, their previous victory. But, you know, it's just you're dealing with a different kettle of fish here, aren't you? So I'll go the minus 14.5 for the Melbourne Storm. I'll take the $1.95 on that one. That's going to be an overs game as well. So just leave me out of that. Cowboys-Dolphins, this is Saturday night up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Hylam Lukey is back. So first time since round two, Jake Granville makes way for him. Viliami Vailea will debut in the place of Tom Chester. So we wish him all the best for that. So this is a boost for the Dolphins. Felice Kaufusi-Connolly Lemuelu has been named to make their return from injury. He's racing the clock. Jesse Bromwich to be back from a calf injury. And maybe Jared Wallace coming back into the squad. Any confirmation on round who's going to coach the Dolphins in this game too? Still Wayne, is it, Tristan?
It appears to be still Wayne. Whether he actually appears at the ground, we're yet to be seen, because they did have a bit of success when he wasn't there in Darwin. So maybe it's another. I suppose Redcliffe to Townsville is not the biggest trip. I still cannot catch the Dolphins, and I still don't know which way to position this game, because everything on paper indicates that the Cowboys, after their improved effort against the Panthers back at home, $1.38, the Dolphins $3.05. Line's gone from 7.5 out to 8.5. You think the Cowboys should just win this game comfortably. But these are the games we've seen over the last 18 months that the Dolphins find another bit of energy, a bit of extra gear, and they put up a big performance. So at the 8.5, there has been a push from $1.90 into $1.80, and 48.5 the total points. The Cowboys have been very enigmatic as well. So, it's a tricky one to work out where this one falls.
The Cowboys just have to win. They're off three losses. They're back-to-back at home. Yes, they were strong in that last 30 minutes coming home against the Panthers, but they still ended up with a six-point loss and now are just 4 from 8 after opening the season with, I think, some papered over quality of form. But it's a game at home. They just have to win. They get the Dolphins at the right time, and I struggle in trying to catch them at, and when they're up or when they're down. I mean, Bennett said in the post-game presser last week that he thought they were very flat and had an off day, yet the week before they went to Darwin and put 7 tries in the second half through the Eels. I mean, gee, that speaks very poorly for the quality of the Eels' form at the present moment. But they're still without Flegler, Farnworth, the Hammer, Jesse Bromwich, and a couple of other guys, which has got to test them. But they do seem on their day when they turn up to have a crack. I think the market's right. I had it about between 8 and 10 between them. I do think that the Cowboys win at home because it is just something they have to get back on the board with. I thought the angle in the game was the two Cowboys centres anytime try scorers. The Dolphins leak the most tries through their left and their right centres of any team in the competition, and I'd be all over those two guys for anytime tries.
Valentine Holmes, got another one last week, didn't he? The great Val. So where are you on this one, Jared? Have you got...
If I had to, Jimmy, I'd be the Cowboys at the minus.
Okay, all right. On Cowboys at the minus, the 8.5 as well too. With a side like the Dolphins, they're just running too short of troops, aren't they, with that?
Yep.
And so I know he didn't play up at Darwin, but it was Parramatta, and that was how do they score their points, and that was reflected in last week's game, when the Knights actually brought a really good defensive mindset to that game. So that's the concern around that. And we know the Cowboys can lay on points. Like that is their special source. It might not be that special and they might not be able to stop them, but that's certainly what they can do. So I would anticipate the minus 8.5. I thought what was interesting too, Scotty Drinkwater, who creates a lot of tries, doesn't really stop a lot of tries, stopped Brian To'o, who came up with 21 tackle breaks, stopped him just short of the line. So I'm like, okay, all right, now we have to start looking at Scotty Drinkwater and say, well, that's the standard you've set defensively. We know he's a highly talented attacking player. That's the type of thing I'm sure Todd Payton's been talking to him about for a long, long time. Sunday footy, McDonald Jones Stadium, Knights up against the Warriors. Jacob Saifidi is in doubt. He's got the lower leg injury that saw him come off last week. Jack Hetherington returned from suspension. He might be straight in if that is the case. For the Warriors, Bunty Afoa set to play after time out with that hamstring injury. And Kurt Capewell back after his throat injury. So this is another one of these games, Tristan, where your traders are earning their keep.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a lot of rain coming as well on the day, which has kept the totals at 39.5. $2.30 the Knights, $1.61 the Warriors, 3.5. It's gone 2.5 out to 3.5. This is a huge game for the Warriors. Obviously, they've dropped their last couple after starting the season really well. The Knights bounced back and got the win there against the Dolphins. Which way that, is it a credit to them or more of a credit or the way the Dolphins performed? It's a tricky one to see. I just think the Warriors have got a much superior side here. I think after putting themselves in a good position against the Dragons and the Titans and coughing up leads in both those games, let's have a feeling a bit longer turnaround. The coaching staff's going to have the Warriors very ready to go, and I think the -3.5, they're going to cover that on the weekend.
Yes, the Warriors are another that just need a win, don't they? I mean, I know they've only lost their last two, but realistically, it's some patchy form amongst that. I mean, getting beat by the Dragons and then the Titans would not have been what we expected going back 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were all up and about some of the combination and quality about what the Warriors were doing. They now go on the road. The forecast is that there'll be 40 mil of rain across Saturday afternoon into Sunday, at least 30 mil of it Saturday. So it's going to be a very wet ground again. I'm just not convinced about the Knights or what they're doing. Yes, they led most of the way last week to get the Dolphins, but I don't like the quality of what they're doing or combinations, certainly in the halves. I think Brayley's struggling at nine. And through the middle, I think that they consistently have been opened up and have been weak. But two teams struggling for a little bit of form. I think 3.5 is about right. I want to be with the Warriors. I think they probably covered a line. I think the wet conditions make it a bit of an ugly watch. And certainly under 40 points looks the way. But the Warriors for mine.
Who's in the halves this week for Newcastle? Any understanding on that? I think they've done the same back-to-back. That's...
No, I think they run the chocolate wheel at the captain's run and then decide.
So Jack Cogger, he's out of the 17. So anyway, David Armstrong, well done to him. I tell you what, he played well, didn't he? Very, very, very fast. So we like when those guys come in and play well. Andrew Webster just said, give them a break. They need a break, which seems funny. You're 8 weeks into a season, but, lots of travel for the Warriors. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. And, their performances have just dipped. Interesting watch on Sean Johnson and see how he comes back and plays in this game, given the fact that, he's had that Achilles injury that they've talked about a lot, and whether that 3 days off is enough to get in there. I'd say it is. I'll say the Warriors -3.5 at $1.90 would be the way I go on that one. Final game, Sharks v the Dragons. This is a great clash down there at Shark Park. That'll be sold out because it only holds about 11,000. But anyway, Toby Rudolph is back. Tuku Hautapua is back to being 18th man. Daniel Atkinson back in the halves after his good job alongside Nico Hines last week. For the Dragons, Luciano Leilua is back. He's named amongst the reserves. Have to wait and see what happens there. Ben Murdoch-Masilla, he could drop out if he is to be included. Zach Lomax shifts to the centres for Moses Suli. Whoa. Anyway, what are we doing with this one, Tristan?
Yeah, the Dragons have been a very tricky side to catch. They've been very up or very down across the course of the season. Obviously, this game being the big rivalry against the Sharks side, it was sitting very nicely atop of the ladder and had a very dominant win there on the weekend. It's $1.21, the Sharks, $4.40, the Dragons, 13.5 is the line. 44.5 the total points. So on paper, the way the Sharks are playing and on the Dragons' performance last week, you'd probably expect the Dragons to be too good. But, as we say, the Dragons have lifted for certain games. This is a massive game for them in their season and obviously the big rivalry there. So 13.5, it is a decent number, and I just tend to think it might be a little bit closer than that.
Yeah, they're just so hard to catch, the Dragons, aren't they? I mean, completely rolled over in that game, as we touched on earlier. Conceding 60, means that they're now conceding near 30 a week with a couple of ugly touch-ups. They get Leilua back. They lose Suli. Gee, I'm not sure that Bird's coping with playing first grade week in, week out at centre either. Lomax has got some horrible errors in him, but he's not on his own. I mean, I think their wingers and fullback are very similar. I think they're playing a couple of blokes through the middle that are really probably past first grade now. Against the Sharks side, they're up and about. But the key with the Sharks is they're yet to beat a team higher than 12th on the table. I said at the start of the season, they had the softest draw. They continue to play that to their advantage, winning 6 or 7. But you can only win. They play another team now that's in the bottom four. They play them at home. They put 40 points through the Raiders last week. Anderson stepped in at 6 and did the job in covering for Trindle. They do have strike and attack that will worry the Dragons. I can't be any other way, but the Sharks at home with a home ground advantage, and I think that the line's about right.
Hey, has there been a move on the Sharkies in the premiership betting, Tristan? Just on the back of, they're top of the ladder. They have a big win down in Canberra. Surely that signals something.
Yeah, they've been the biggest movers of the of the recent times anyway. So they opened the season at 21. They got out to a high of $31 and now they're into 13. So wow. Basically halved their quote from what we opened at the start of the year.
Yeah, interesting. So playing really good footy back at home. Nico Hines was excellent last week. They've got, Cam McGuinness is probably an underrated player and is probably, with due respect to Dale Finucan, an improvement on what Dale's output has been over the last 18 months. So that's working in their favour. The only thing that concerns me about this is Shane Flanagan almost was thinking about this game before Anzac Day. That little chip on the shoulder that Flano has can work for you and against you, but might work for him on this occasion. So I'm expecting an improved response. They have a long break coming out of that Anzac Day clash, the Dragons, to lick their wounds a little bit. Zach Lomax is a funny one, isn't he? The week before against the Warriors, he was the best player in the comp in the way that he played. And then when he set up the try with the flick pass in the first couple of minutes of that Anzac Day clash, you thought, this guy's a freak. Then he set up another couple of tries with flick passes. Unfortunately, that was for the Roosters, so which might have put a line through his State of Origin chances. But I'm going to go with the Dragons, plus 13.5 at $1.95. Anyone want to entertain a lunch bet on that?
I'm with the plus, too, Jimmy.
You want the plus, Tristan?
Yeah, I'm with the plus.
Well, lovely.
Oh, you're against this, Jared?
Yes, I am.
So it's Tristan plus me.
That'll give you confidence, Jimmy, with the strength of the in-form hand, the hot hand.
Should we roll back the form guide on how that's been working for you two?
I only ever have a very small form guide and I only have to look at the last couple of starts, so no, we're going well.
Yeah. And my best bet, Jared, has been going gangbusters, so...
Well, we haven't got to that yet, Jimmy, so that...
No, what are you going to do, Jimmy? No, I'm just saying, put out a PDS statement, previous performances, future returns.
I'm just waiting for you to now label the Dragons at plus 13.5 as your best for the week.
No, I won't be doing that, but I'm happy to take a lunch off you. So how about we do that? So lunch bet, Dragons plus 13.5. Go the Dragons. Go, Zach. That's what I say. All right, Jared, you better go through your tips. You might as well give us your best.
As a man who lived in the Shire for so many years, Jimmy, you're so rock solid. It's great to see. Jimmy, I'm with the Panthers to score by and win by 12, the Eagles by 16, Broncos by 4, Bulldogs by 6, Storm by 20, Cowboys by 18, Warriors by 4, Sharkies by 14, and I thought the Storm minus 14.5 was the best of the week for me.
Storm minus 14. Oh, jeez, Jared. That's rude with our host here, but jeez. Anyway.
I know you want one of those shirts, Jared, but geez, that's not a good way to get it. Right, I'm going to take this for my best. I'm going to go to Sunday, and we're going to take the Warriors minus 3.5 to bounce back and get the result against the Knights. So I'm going to jump on the Warriors minus 3.5.
All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to go a two-leg multi. All right. Given the fact I'm seeing them like beach balls, best bet and beach balls, nice alliteration there. I'm going to go Manly minus 13.5 into the Roosters plus 7.5.
Roosters plus 7.5. And there's breaking news whilst we've been on this that Payne Haas hurt himself at training as well. So
get on.
You're on at 7.5, but as we're talking, it's been a little bit of a push, 6.5 into $1.85. So that might, obviously, it's unconfirmed at the moment, but that will obviously have a big move to the market if he doesn't play too.
So I thought it was one of the toughest rounds of the year, and I've spent 3 days trying to find a bet, and Jimmy's gone bang, bang with a double.
Yep.
I love a man in form.
Yeah. Hey. You can lose everything, but never lose your confidence, Jared.
That's it, Jimmy. I love it.
All right, gentlemen, racing. Where are you taking us racing this week?
Well, Jimmy, let's go to Caulfield Race 10. There's a horse number 2 that won first up a couple of weeks ago that has been a nemesis of mine, Chortle Lane, because it did its first ever win in Australia, and then I think its third win in Australia. On both occasions, one of mine ran second to it in Plundering. So I think it returned with its win 2 weeks ago. It just came from last at a track that doesn't suit horses coming from behind, and picked them up and went away easily. Very nice rating. It's best form when it's fresh. I think it's come back a very nice horse. So Caulfield Race 10, number 2, Chortle Lane. I'll have 100 on the nose. Thank you.
That's at $3.80 at the moment, so we'll pop that on at the fixed price. I'm going to also stay in Caulfield. There's a really good meeting in Adelaide. They got had some Group 1s there last week. They got some more Group 1s this week, so there's some high-quality racing there. It goes to Queensland, the carnival after that, so plenty of good racing around the nation. I'm going to stick in Caulfield. Race 6, number 9. Been very, very consistent this preparation, the Shaper. It's been very well backed, $10 into 6, so I'm going to take the $6, and after spending a few days over in New Zealand with Lloyd, I am absolutely 100% taking a win only. So at $6, we're going to put the $100 on the win.
Oh, you'll be very happy with that. All right, gentlemen, we've got the standalone at Hawkesbury. So I'm going to take us there. Race number 7 at Hawkesbury. Number 16, Hasty Honey. So this is in the Hawkesbury Guineas. Big spec, good odds here. We'll have to find out just exactly how good they are. But Tracy from Cordor's done the form. Last start went from the hot rails to hooking around them off the fence, which was the inferior ground on the day. The run had plenty of merit that she saw on the video. So clearly handled the heavy track, as it will be on Saturday. So home track as well. So what have we got there for the win and for the place, Tristan?
Yeah, there has been a little bit of support for it, although there have been a couple of scratchings out of the race, so it's probably more so to do with that. It hasn't moved the market too much away from that. It's been $26 into 21, so still very, very good odds, so a decision to be made.
Okay. Place odds?
Place, $5.
$5, all right. The tried and trusted, Tristan, I'll have $30 on the win and I'll have $70 on the place, please.
Yeah, that staking plan's one of your better ones, Jimmy. So 30 yeah. by 70, $21 and $5.
There we go. All right, gents, that's it. Someone's giving you a winner. Work out who it is. enjoy the weekend of footy. I know you will enjoy your racing as well. And we're going to do it all again next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.